The Lutheran pastor who was martyred by the Nazis, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, said this about homilies. He said, the purpose of a homily, you know, the sermon that I'm going to give now, is to allow the risen Jesus to walk among his people. The purpose of a homily is to allow the risen Lord, who is present among us yet, to walk among his people. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it, for giving homilies? You know, it's somehow the presence of the risen Christ speaking to each one of us. So we need to make an act of faith in that, despite the preacher, that God is really active in a special moment here as we listen to his word. Today is Mother's Day, and I'd like to begin by reflecting briefly on the role of mothers in our lives. When God was searching for language to tell the Jewish people how much he loved them through the prophet Isaiah, he said something very beautiful. God said, could a mother forget her children? And you know, those of your mothers know that you can never forget your children. But even if she could, I will never forget you. You know, God is telling us that his love for us is more intense than the greatest love there is, which is the faithful love of a mother for her children. Now, sometimes our mothers mess things up. You know, we don't all have good, loving mothers, but most of us do. And it's very important, in any case, to pray for our mothers today on Mother's Day. My mother died at 97, 5 years ago, 6 years ago now. And some of your mothers have died, and some of your mothers are living. But all of us here should pray for our mothers today in gratitude to God for the gift of motherhood. And then if your mother's alive, you should thank her personally, either face-to-face or through a phone call. I imagine most of you have done that already today when your mothers are alive. Also, in the church, we believe that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is our mother. You know, Jesus gave her to us the day he died, when he said from the cross to St. John, behold your mother, and to Mary, behold your son, giving Mary to the church as the mother of each individual Christian. So as you pray for your mothers today, it's also important for you to pray to your mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus and our mother. And we ask her to help us be faithful children, both to our biological mothers and to her. Today is called Good Shepherd Sunday because most of the readings deal with the image of Jesus as a good shepherd. But the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles doesn't. So I want to cover that just briefly by pointing out one or two things. This is the first sermon that St. Peter gave in Jerusalem after the Feast of Pentecost. And this is what he said. Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. You know, those words are words we take for granted, but they're loaded with theological meaning. The word Lord in Hebrew is Adonai, which was the word that the Jewish people used in reference to God. So in referring to Jesus as Lord, Peter was indicating the belief of the early church that Jesus is not only one of us, not only a human being, but also is God. And not only is he Lord, but he is Christ. The Hebrew word for Christ is Mashiach. We have the English word Messiah, the one that God promised to save his people. So those two words are the heart of the Christian preaching, that Jesus, risen from the dead, is both God and our Messiah, our Lord. Now, the part that's interesting about this reading is that the reaction of the crowd. It says here, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, what are we to do? So the response to the proclamation of the faith of the church is to let it penetrate and go down deep, to cut our hearts. And then it leads us to a very important question. If it's true that Jesus is God and Messiah, What are we to do? And the answer was simple. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Now, for most of us here, the order is reversed. We were baptized when we were children, and many of us have not yet repented. You know, so most of us here don't have to get baptized. But all of us here, even if we repented a little, need to repent time and time and time again. And that's the invitation of the church to us in the season of Lent, to be repentant, which means to turn around, to turn our lives around, completely around, and to give them to the risen Lord. So we ask the Lord to help us respond to the proclamation of the gospel as clearly and radically as the early Jerusalem community did to the preaching of Saint Peter. Now, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. I'd like to talk about some of the images Jesus uses in the gospel passage, which we probably don't understand. This morning I preached at Our Lady of Calvary Parish in northeastern Philadelphia, and I asked the people in the congregation, it was a much larger group of people than tonight, how many of you were raised on a farm? And there were hundreds of people there, and not one person raised his or her hand. So how many of you were raised on a farm? One, two, three, four, maybe five, six people, a few people. And the reason I ask that is most of us have a very clear misunderstanding of what sheep are like. You know, most of us have this kind of pastoral image of these cute little lambs that we celebrate on Easter Sunday, gentle lambs that go baa, 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 they bleat. But that wouldn't be the image in the minds of the people to whom Jesus spoke. They were rural people in Palestine, surrounded by shepherds and by sheep. And when they thought of sheep, they thought of animals that smelled bad, were stupid, and were constantly in danger because of their foolish behavior. When God spoke to the Jewish people about their relationship with him, even before Jesus' time, God portrayed himself as a shepherd and the people of Israel as his flock. And they understood that God wasn't complimenting them when he called them sheep, because the sheep were smelly and stupid, and they wandered around getting themselves into trouble, which is what the Jewish people were very much like. You know, I don't mean smelly in a clear way, but in a kind of symbolic way. They were sometimes very rotten people, and they were stupid in terms of their relationship with God, and they often wandered far from him. So when Jesus speaks to us about being sheep, we need to have that kind of thought in mind. What is he saying to us? A second image used in today's gospel reading is the image of sheep gates. Jesus says, I am the gate. And there are three possible images that Jesus had in mind when he spoke this. The first is very interesting. One of the gates of Jerusalem is a walled city, one of the gates was called the Sheep Gate. And this was a gate through which the sheep were led into the city and to the temple in Jerusalem, where they were to be sacrificed. So for them, the gate was a one-way trip. None of the sheep that came in ever came out. Okay? So when Jesus talked about, I am the gate, this is one of the images that would have been in their mind. Okay? A second image was the pens, where the sheep were held in the communities. And there were two kinds. The kind that were in the village themselves, they were substantial pens that would have a very large gate. And the chief shepherd would have the key to lock the gate so the wolves couldn't get in and the sheep couldn't escape. The second kind of sheep pen, which really fits this reading more than the first one I just described, was a sheep pen out in the fields, which was rather loosely made of stone and branches. And there was no gate. That's where the shepherd slept. He slept at the entry into the sheep pen. And so if the sheep tried to get out, he was there to catch them. And if the wolves tried to get in, he was there to protect them. And so when Jesus speaks about the gate in today's gospel, the people of Israel would have had all those images in their mind. Okay? Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. And we generally think that means the shepherd who's kind and gentle. Well, shepherds were not kind and gentle. They were not considered very high in the hierarchy of jobs among the Jews. And they were the people who held, they were people with less education, were rough people out in the wilderness. And many of them were seen as kind of criminal. You know, they were not good people. So when Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd, he's not talking about virtue, although Jesus is absolutely virtuous. He's talking about a shepherd who knew how to do his job very well. Like we say, a good mechanic doesn't mean the mechanic has virtue, although he might. It means he knows how to do his job. And Jesus is saying in this reading that he's a good shepherd. He knows how to shepherd his sheep, which is to shepherd all of us. Also, we have to keep in mind that in the church, Jesus is referred to as one of the sheep himself. He is the Lamb of God, the Agnus Dei. And every day at Mass, before we receive Holy Communion, we say, Lamb of God, have mercy on us, grant us peace. And this image is from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus. You might remember the story of the Jewish people who were slaves in Egypt. And God sent Moses to rescue them. And God tried to convince Pharaoh to set them free, and Pharaoh wouldn't do it. So God sent a plague of frogs, and he turned the Nile River into blood, and the Pharaoh still wouldn't let them go. And finally God said, I want all the Jewish families to sacrifice a lamb tonight and to take the blood of the lamb and mark their doors, because I'm going to send the angel of death to Egypt, and the angel will pass over the houses where the Jewish people lived, even though he would bring death to all the firstborn of the Egyptians. And so that lamb, that blood of the lamb, was seen as the way the Jewish people were saved by God when the angel of death passed through the community. And we know as Christians that it's Jesus' blood shed on the cross that has allowed the angel of death, you know, that death that really counts, which is the death of sin, to pass over our lives, because we are saved by the blood of Jesus. And so when the church heard this gospel, all those images were richly a part of their way of seeing things. So I'm going to look at these scripture readings just quickly, and I think if you look at them through these images, through these lenses, you'll see them in a slightly, if not major, different way. First of all, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. It's really the most popular psalm in the book of Psalms. We use it for funerals, we use it for weddings. It's a song praising God for caring for his people. Listen to what we say and what we sung. The Lord is my shepherd. Is it true? You allow the Lord to lead you? There is nothing I shall want. I mean, there are a lot of things we need, but if God is truly leading us, there is really nothing that we need more, really, if we trust the Lord. In verdant pastures, means green fields, he gives me rest. Besides restful waters, he leads me, he refreshes my soul. You know, the Jewish people had no water, they had no grass, it was a desert they lived in. So the image of Jesus of the Good Shepherd bringing them to lush meadows and flowing streams was a sign of being saved, brought to a better place. You see your Christian faith as bringing you to a better place. He guides me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for he is at my side with your rod and your staff. You know, I carry the bishop's staff that, that stick, which is a symbol of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And the shepherds would use that stick to beat off the wolves. Although I don't use that on you in the same kind of way, you know. But we know that Jesus protects us and guards us from the forces of evil in the world. So if Jesus is our shepherd, there is absolutely nothing that we should want or fear. In the reading from the first letter of St. Peter, we heard these words about shepherds. By his wounds, you were healed. For you had gone astray like sheep. You know, they tend to wander off in dangerous kind of ways. But you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Well, Jesus is to be the shepherd and guardian of our souls. So if we've wandered off, we should wander back quickly, because he loves us and desires to care for us. And then we come to this wonderful reading from the Gospel of St. John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen." You've heard me tell you this before, but when he says that, what Jesus is saying, this is really important. Listen, because the word amen means this is true. So Jesus is saying at this moment, this is true. This is true. Pay attention. Whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. Now, many of us here have responsibilities of shepherding. I am to be the shepherd of this archdiocese. The pastors of your parishes are to be the shepherds of your parish communities. Parents, you are the shepherds of your children. If you have a position of responsibility as a teacher, you're the shepherd of those students. If you're a lawyer, you're a shepherd of your clients. Wherever we are, we're supposed to be responsible for one another, right? And Jesus is saying that if anyone tries to be a shepherd in a model different from him, because he's the gate, that person is a thief and a robber. You know, so if we're not responsible in the way Jesus wants to be, we're stealing something from the people who have a right to expect us to be good mothers and fathers and bishops and priests and teachers and lawyers and friends. And Jesus's way, the way he leads us, is the way to be a good shepherd. He goes on to say, the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You know, this happened in South Dakota, where I was a bishop for many years. Shepherds still call out for their sheep, and their sheep follow them. They recognize their voice. Different sheep recognize the different voices of the different shepherds. It's quite amazing. And when they hear the voice of the shepherd, and the reason they hear the voice of the shepherd is because the shepherd spends time with them, then they're willing to follow him. And Jesus is saying to us in this reading that we need to spend time with him so we hear his voice when he calls us. Otherwise, we won't go when he calls. He won't be able to lead us. And the way we spend time with Jesus is by reading the scriptures, spending time in prayer, being an active part of our Christian community. And if we do that, we develop the skill to hear and distinguish the voice of the shepherd from other voices in our lives. And there are many other voices in our lives. On television, in the movies, the voices of money and power, the voices of pleasure. Everybody wants our attention. And because of that, they sometimes drown out the sound of the voice of Jesus, who wants to be our shepherd. So we need to practice listening, so that we might be authentic members of his community who are able to follow him. Jesus goes on to say, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep." You know, think of that gate where the shepherd is lying in front of the gate so that the animals can't come in, the wolves, and the sheep can't escape. He lays down his life for his sheep. You know, he's done that for us already, when he died for us on the cross. And then if we go to that image of the sheep gate in Jerusalem, you know, the place where the sheep went for sacrifice. There's even a passage here that corresponds to this. If I can find it here, I want to read it to you. Whoever enters through me will be saved and not sacrificed, and will come in and go out and find pasture. You know, it's not a one-way street like the sheep who were led to sacrifice in the Old Testament. But Jesus is the shepherd who gives us freedom to go in and out, to respond to his word, and to experience his love for us. So today's a wonderful day. It's Mother's Day, but it's also Good Shepherd Day. And we ask the Lord to help us to be good shepherds to those we're responsible for, but more importantly, to love the shepherd when we hear his voice calling us.